Oh, come on, it's better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it is a good morning. I know around 6:45 I woke up this morning and the drapes in our motel room were slightly open, and I looked outside and my wife asked me what time it was, and the next comment was, well, it doesn't look like it's going to be much sunshine today. But that's just what we see outside. We, this morning, enjoy the sunshine of God's love. So it's a good morning. Now, we normally begin by singing from the hymn sheet, and we normally focus on the back page, but we'll take suggestions from elsewhere. Does anyone have a choice as to the song that they get? What number? Number six. Okay, let's take a look. Number six. We'll just sing the first and last verse of number six. God in mercy sent His Son to a world like sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. 'Twas for sinners Jesus died. All the glory of the great shining in the Savior's face. Because it relates to our verse this morning. All right, here's another hand. Yes. What number? He wants to sing the wise man. I don't think that's on the hymn sheet, but we can sing it anyway. I hope everybody here remembers all the verses. Let's try it.
I do.
Good. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rain came tumbling down. The rain came down and the flood came up. The rain came down and the flood came up. The rain
sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rain came tumbling down. The rain came down and the flood came up. The rain came down and the flood came up. The rain came down and the flood came up. And the house on the sand fell down. So if you build on Christ who is the rock, so if you build on Christ who is the rock,
I think it's time for a girl to choose a song. Any girls choose it? All right.
14.
Number 14. All right, let's sing the first and last verse of number 14.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His great desire? Are you washed in the blood?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I see boys and girls and men and women who got ready to come to meeting this morning, all dressed nice, clean. How about the inside? Are your souls, will your soul be ready? Is your soul ready for the mansion bright? You know, the Bible tells us that man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside. All right, how about another song? Yes. Number 11. Boy, we're really avoiding the back sheet this morning. That's all right. Number 11.
Will your anchor...
Sorry, I got that last tune still stuck in my mind. Will someone else please start number 11.
Will your anchor... Hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tide lifts and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain?
We have heard that keeps the
tell you boys and girls something.
The grown-ups here, many of us anyway, enjoy singing these songs more than you do. Because we've learned over the years what it is to have an anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our prayer that each one of you will grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And as you grow in the knowledge, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, your appreciation, your enjoyment of these hymns will grow too. All right, we have time for one more. Yes. Number 10. Okay, number 10. Again, the first and last verse of number 10. There is a Savior on high in the glory, a Savior as offered on Calvary's grave, a Savior as willing to one of us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you above all for the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. We pray that each person in this room this morning might have his or her attention focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only focus, but there might be a heart hunger to know him better, to enjoy more of what he is. And we ask this in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, we had a memory verse. I know for a fact that some people learned it. Who can tell me what the memory verse was for this morning? Yes. Very good. Now we'll try to be systematic. Okay, let's try to be systematic. We'll just go start right here. Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay? You want to say it? I'm.
John 8:12.
Very good. Okay. Okay. You don't know it? Okay, how about you? Oh, you said it. All right.
I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but has the light of life. John 8, 12.
Okay. But shall have the light. John. Right. Okay.
And the light of the world, he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light. Light of life. John 8:12.
Very good.
I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12.
Very good. Okay, I remember learning this verse as a child. When I was very young, I learned this verse too. A memory verse. I said it in Sunday school. So let's open our Bibles to John 8:12. Pardon? Did I skip some? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay.
I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Okay, anybody else? I'm not seeing real well. On the end. Okay, you fellas, yes. Can you say the verse? I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12.
I'm the light of the world. That follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
Very good. Did I miss anybody else? I don't like to miss anybody. I remember when I was in Sunday school, and I learned the verse, and I got missed once or twice, and it bothered me. I never forgot it. But you know who cares more than you do? Cares more than your parents? Sometimes you wish your parents didn't care that much. I'll tell you somebody who cares more than you do, whether you learn the verse, and that's the Lord. You know, that God wants us to have His Word in our hearts and our minds. All right, now, let's talk about this verse for just a minute. I want to give a very simple lesson on it. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Notice what the whole verse is. Then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Jesus said these words. I am the light of the world. Think what it was to be standing in the presence of the Lord Jesus. A man who looked like an ordinary man. And he said, I am the light of the world. I wonder how many people, when he said that, looked up and said, wait a second, there's the sun up there. But Jesus was greater than the sun. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do you know why the Lord Jesus said, I'm the light of the world? Because it's possible to be in physical sunlight and still be walking in darkness. Now, I want to just to help us understand a little bit about this. Some time ago I made up this little sign here. It's a little illustration of the effect of light. And you'll see why in a minute. Who wants to read this front side for me? Got to read? Yeah, good, good. Read the front side here.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
Right. You can read that because there is light here. Now, just to get the idea of the contrast, you see, we're in the light, we can see things, we can comprehend things, we have communication, Who wants to read the backside of this sign? Who's going to volunteer to read the backside? Okay. Well, I'll try you.
I can't read that.
You can't read it, can you? No. This is the difference between light and darkness. One side, we've got information. We've got communication. We have the Word of God. And if you don't have that, you have darkness. Darkness. You know, sometimes, you know, I learned this verse when I was very young. I learned this verse probably 60 years ago. But some of the importance of it, I'm still learning. For instance, it says here, whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. What is the opposite? What do you suppose is the opposite of the light of life? Think about those words. The light of life. What would be the opposite of the light of life? Now, that's a hard question. But we learn a lot by looking at words in Scripture and thinking about what the opposite might be. What is the opposite of the light of life? Don't try.
Darkness?
Darkness of what?
Light?
No. The opposite of the light of life is the darkness of
death.
Yes. What an awful contrast. The opposite of the light of life is the darkness of death. I want us to understand how important it is to have light from God. Now, why do I say it's important to have light from God? Because we all have light in this room. Let me ask you a question. Where does light come from? Where does light come from? And the Bible gives us the answer. Where does light come from? Where does light come from? Well, yeah, it's interesting. You're right. The Lord Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But there's an interesting verse in the beginning of the Bible. And I want us to think about these words. Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, of course, the very first verse says, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, that means it was empty and shapeless, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. Light comes from God. Now, you know, we live in a world that has all kinds of lights. We have sunlight, we have moonlight, we have incandescent light, we have electric light, we have candles, we have all sorts of sources for light. We have lights on our cars, we have some people carry flashlights. There's all kinds of lights. But in the beginning, light came from God. And it's possible to be in physical light and not be in moral light. I'm going to make a statement here that's kind of interesting. I ran across a book recently written by a man who is a study of the universe. I'm trying to think of the term. He studies the whole of creation. He made an interesting statement. He says, we think in terms of the universe being governed by physical principles. But he says the universe is governed by moral principles. The universe itself is governed by moral principles. And there's such a thing as moral light as well as physical light. And all light comes from God. Now, I want to illustrate further the significance of having light. I need two volunteers. Two volunteers. Well, you've been a good volunteer this morning, and I'll give you a try here. Okay, you two come up here. And what's your name?
Clint.
You're Clint, and you are?
Julia.
Now, I need one person to volunteer to be blindfolded. Oh, no. It's one of you two. Are you willing to be blindfolded? Oh, okay. Good. All right. Now, I'll make it worth your while. Don't worry. Now, can you see anything?
No.
You can breathe, though, and talk. That's good. You can't see anything. Are you in a room full of light?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, let's go for a little walk here. Now, I'm going to turn you loose here. I want you to head for the door. Are you sure you don't see him? Okay, that's good. Is that the way you like to travel?
No.
No. Now, let me ask you a question. You are in light right now, but were you walking in light or walking in darkness? Yeah, that's because, you see, it's one thing to have light outside, but not have light inside. We receive light through our eyes. And there are people who walk in darkness, but even though they're in the light, they walk in darkness because the light doesn't get inside. Now, I'm going to show you one other interesting, step over here. I want everybody to be able to see this here. I have something in my pocket here. This is another kind of dramatic demonstration, I think, of the difference between having light and darkness. You know what that is?
$1 bill.
Oh, yes. You weren't supposed to say that. You're supposed to say yes or no. You see what I was holding in front of your face? Would that have interested you?
Yeah.
But you see, you didn't see it because you were blind and you couldn't see. Thank you very much for those illustrations. Both of you sit down. You're welcome. You got your reward there. Now, I want to talk, just read some scriptures to help us understand when God said, "Let there be light." He wanted every kind of light, not just physical light, but he wants us to have light in our lives. You know, the verse says, the Lord Jesus here says, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall..." Now tell me if I'm saying this right. "He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall walk in light." Is that what it says?
No.
What does it say?
But shall have the light.
You know, this is an amazing thing. We have the privilege of not only walking in light, but we have the privilege of having it. Just like Clint there has the dollar bill. Just like Julie has the dollar bill. It's something we can receive. We can have. The Lord Jesus says, "He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Well, how does that work? Let's look at some verses, and there's lots of verses we could look at, but our time is about up. I want to read some verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it says, verse 3, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost." Now, I have an idea, and Clint can tell me if I'm right or wrong. Clint, what would you have done if somebody had yelled fire when you had that bandana on?
Just ran around.
You probably would have run around circles. Yeah, I think actually you might have yanked the bandana off, but if you left the bandana on, yeah, you obviously weren't sure where you're going. The gospel is hid to those who are lost. I want to tell you something this morning. If what we're doing here, if what we're about here doesn't mean anything to you, it's because you're lost. It's a terrible thing to be lost. And it is possible to be lost and not know it. I used to work in a department store, and I saw lots of boys and girls get separated from their parents. Who do you suppose realized first that the child was lost, the mother or the child? Who do you think? Generally speaking, I think it was the mother. The child was. I remember being up in the toy department of a Lazarus department store, big toy department, and the parents would be walking through there, and the kids would get focused on something, and the child didn't realize that he or she was separated from the parent, but the parent would turn around and, oh, Johnny or whoever, you know, parent was conscious of it first. You know, God knew that we're lost. It says that the gospel is hid to those who are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. God can do that. And God can give you light. God, and we need that light. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light is something you can have in your heart. I want to ask you this morning, do you have that light in your heart? The light of the knowledge of God. Do you have that light in your heart? It's a wonderful thing to have that light in our hearts. That way you can be in a dark place and you're still lit inside. Well, our time is up. Let's just thank the Lord for this time together. Our God and Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world.